You're listening to the Sprues and Brews podcast, your weekly podcast looking at all things Warhammer.
This is episode 62 of our podcast. My name is Dave, and I'm joined once again by Matt.
Hello, hello.
And Jay.
Hello. Welcome. 62, take two.
62, take two, yeah, okay. Yeah, well, yeah, you can do as many outtakes as you want, you just don't make the cut. That's what it is.
Dave's editing it, so no one ever knows.
No one ever knows how long this podcast takes to record.
To introduce.
To introduce. So on this week's podcast, we're going to be talking about our top three gifts that we think Warhammer fans would like.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it, isn't it?
It is, that's exactly it. Dave.
That's exactly it. So that's later on in the podcast. We've also got the last week's worth of news, including something that we sort of heard about last week, but now it's been fully fleshed out.
Yep.
So we'll talk about that later on. What else have we got?
We're going to be talking about our hobby plans for next year as well.
Yeah. Or potential plans, or dunno plans.
Plans that they are at the minute, even though they might change by next week.
We might do the same segment next week, yeah.
Yeah, potentially. So, we've got another fun-filled podcast, and we'll also finish off, as always, with our community top three picks towards the end of the podcast and any shout-outs and stuff as well, and we'll be later on in the show. So, before we get cracking with all of that, shall we talk about what we've been doing in the hobby for the past week?
It sounds good to me.
Jay, would you like to start?
Yes, I have been back on the Eldar, and I've been painting Eldar Rangers, and I've done a test model for my Eldar Ranger, and then I've started batch painting the remaining nine. Unfortunately, I do not think I'm going to get them done in time for Purple Sparky Unicorns. With moving house at the moment, everything's being boxed up and find it very hard to get time to sit down and paint. That's and I don't want to rush them. So my plan now is to get these Eldar finished for Warhammer World at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So they will all be painted by then. And I will use on Sunday the Adeptus Custodes.
The Adeptus Custodes, well, they're all fully painted, ready to...
They are, ready to...
wreck some face, as Matt would say.
Smite the enemies.
Two Dreadnoughts?
In my list so far, I've got two Dreadnoughts of the Forge World variety, two units of Custodian Guard, a big unit of Alaris Terminators, a Shield Captain in Terminator Armour, and Trajan Valoris himself, just for some anti-knightage, because he's got the strength of 10.
Well, Andy Wood's Trajan Valoris killed my knight, so yeah, that's what he does.
Yeah.
That is what he does. Still sounds like a very strong list. And Custodes, they always perform.
It's an army of heroes, isn't it? Yeah. Army of toughness 5, 2+, 4+ saves.
For anybody who's unsure of what Purple Sparkly Unicorns is, that's a local gaming group, and they're hosting a 40k one-day tournament on Sunday, which we shall all be attending.
Yeah, we'll probably be covering it next week, won't we?
Yes, we will. Matt, what have you been doing this week?
I have continued on with the Iron Ravens, and they're nearly done for the Purple Sparklies. So in the last week, I have painted another Invicta War suit, a Repulsor, 5 Intercessors, a Captain and a Lieutenant. They're not finished, but they're going to be battle-ready for Sunday. And then I can go back and add some detail and stuff. And there's not a lot more to be added for December, because there's other stuff that I painted that's not going in the list on Sunday, like the Plasma Guys Hellblasters,
yeah.
And the Drop Guys,
Suppressors. Yeah.
They're just Sniper Guys, Drop Guys, Flamer Guys, that's how I refer to all the units. So they shouldn't take too long to finish once I do a frantic painting night tomorrow.
Cool. Yeah, you have been on an absolute mission. If you haven't seen our Twitter feed, go on to at Sprues and Brews on Twitter and you'll be able to see Matt's progress on his Iron Ravens.
They are really, really quick. You just spray them, lead belcher, wash them all down with a mix of 50-50 matte and gloss Norn oil, which is the best concoction ever. And I'm tempted to get some pots and just pre-mix it, because it's a brilliant, oily kind of gunmetal colour. Mm. And then just paint the details. You know, blocking the base coats doesn't take long, and then add some highlights. Job done.
Excellent. Well, this week I have been working on my army that I'm taking to the Unicorns. I think last week I was absolutely torn what I was going to take. I finally made my decision. I'm going to take Tyranids. So pretty much most of my army was done, aside from bases, which I've got to finish. But I did have three Tyrant Guard that had literally just been undercoated, and that's it. I decided to... Because obviously I painted all my other Tyranids using the traditional painting methods. I sprayed them Wraithbone and went contrast. And I think they match
Yeah, yeah, they look good.
The Tyranids so far. So they're almost done. I've just got to do the Sotek on two of them around the edges of the like the carapace. So they'll be done tomorrow night, and then I've just got the rest of the week, the rest of sort of Friday and Saturday to quickly do free swarms, free ripper swarms, and finish all the bases off.
Awesome.
And then they'll be ready to go, and hopefully I'll be able to get in combat very quickly on Sunday before I get shot to pieces.
Yeah, I want to play you, Dave.
I've got a very monster-heavy list, which, as a cool kid say, isn't really the meta right now. But it's fun, isn't it? That's what it's all about.
Oh, no. I hope you're not playing against an army with lots of snipers and heavy weapons and high-damage weapons to take out all these big monsters you've got,
yeah,
Dave.
Yeah, I know. I'll be relying heavily upon the Hive Tyrant and the Swarm Lord's invulnerable saves. Everything else, though. Oh, dear. Well, it should be fun anyway, so I'm really looking forward to it. And that's it. The bone splitters have gone on standby whilst I was blitzing these, but then I'll be straight back on them because they've got to be done for December the 18th.
Yeah, it's not long now. I still torn on what to take. I love Cities of Sigmar army's nice. I'm going to take that, possibly. But then part of me does want to take the Everchosen.
And ogres were in the mix at one point.
Nah, ogres. Not taking ogres.
No, not taking ogres.
It's going to be steam tanks or the Lord of the End Times.
Oh, dear. I know I can beat steam tanks.
Well, I think a Cities of Sigmar versus the Uruks would be good because those two books came out at the same time. It'd be like Pokemon Red versus Pokemon Blue.
And on that note, we'll take a pause because we'll be coming straight back with the news. This week's news offerings, Matt, what have we got?
We've got a load of stuff this week, as we do every week recently.
Yeah, I think we need to change how we word that, because we always have lots of
news.
Now,
there's not many pre-orders on Saturday, if that makes you feel any better.
But that's because we've still got... it was a two-week pre-order for all the 40k stuff last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, but there's not much... The only stuff we've got for pre-order this Saturday is some Inquisitorial stuff. And, you know, no one around this table is a fan of that.
I love Inquisitors.
So we have got Arch-Confessor Krinov. He looks a bit like the dude out of Blackstone Fortress, doesn't he? With his big kind of...
He's for Sisters, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
Yeah.
So he's up for pre-order. I think he might be in their book as well. I don't know off the top of my head. I'm sure you could proxy him as some kind of priest, if not.
Yeah.
There's also a host of Inquisitors and Demon Host as well.
The Demon Host I'll definitely be getting because I want one for Eisenhorn.
A lot of these models you haven't been able to get for a long time either.
No. There's a couple of cool Inquisitors in there as well. I think they're all female ones, actually. But yeah, the Demon Host I'll definitely be picking up. I don't know if they come in a set of two.
Who knows? We don't know how they're split yet. It looks on the image they're both together, so they might come bundled together.
Yeah. And these are all made to order as well, so one week only.
Normally takes about 28 days to get them.
Yeah.
Are they metal models as well?
They are produced in the last material they were made in.
Oh, I can't.
So for a lot of the Lord of the Rings stuff, they're so long ago that they're in metal.
Yeah.
Some of these might have been fine cast at some point.
I think the Demon Host never made it to fine cast, so I think they'll probably still be metal then. And I'm very tempted to say all those Inquisitors are probably metal as well.
Yeah. I mean,
I think any of them made it to fine cast.
That priest is a second edition model, so yeah. It's probably still in metal. And then there's also all the old assassins are up for pre-order as well.
The old female cult assassins or the old
assassins.
All the ever serving the right, nice. So a bit of variety in
the the plastic ones are nice, but there's a bit of charm to those old models.
The old ever I used to love. And the old Clexus.
So yeah, they will be up for pre order at the same time. And that is all your pre-orders, which is a quiet one. Most of that is because the Sisters box that was up for pre-order this Saturday just gone. It kind of sold out in 11 minutes.
It did. It was crazy. It was that crazy that Games Workshop even put out an article this week to try and reassure people that they thought they had a lot of stock.
Yeah, and you know what? I imagine they probably did.
Yeah.
Element Games sold out in 30 seconds.
The Games Workshop site wasn't responding with that. I was just going on to look and I couldn't get to it.
It had crashed for a period. So I'd got on early and had a tactic, which you always got to do if you're trying to get these hard to get books. I knew that both the Horus Heresy, Siege of Terror book was up for pre order and the Sisters box. I thought, okay, numbers wise, the book's probably going to have less. We'll order that first. Then we'll jump over to Element and order the Sisters box. Didn't go to plan because it had sold out in the couple of seconds. And a little hint to the wise, Games Workshop pre-orders go live on their website just before 10 o'clock. So if you're on there a couple of minutes before, you can probably get the pre-order in before it's on all the kind of independent
Matt's
sites.
I regret breaking that secret.
So I'd ordered the book. 10 o'clock went over to Element. That had sold out. Went back to Games Workshop, ordered that, had no issues, and then just saw reports of the Games Workshop site being down by pretty much everybody on Twitter.
Yeah. I think that would... You were probably very quick going from Element to GW. I think a lot of people would have gone to your third-party websites first and then
come to GW.
Yeah.
It was literally 10 o'clock, out of stock there, ordered there. You can't mess around with these things.
No.
I noticed that one of the developers mentioned that we found it was comical that he couldn't order it himself because the website was down.
So
I think there's been a few disappointed people. There has been a lot on eBay at ridiculous prices.
And there's nothing you can do to stop that. It's a shame that people out there who wanted it can't get it.
Yeah.
I mean, the only sort of like silver lining is it's not long to wait until you can grab it.
No, so the article that Dave mentioned, they pointed out that, look, January you'll be able to get all these models. I imagine the contents of this box, minus the special edition book, will probably come as a start collecting. Now, that might be further down the line, but the individual kits, you'll get in January. You can build a Sister's Army then.
Yeah.
They did mention that one of the ways they're trying to get around this, because there's been a lot of releases that have sold out super quickly, battle boxes mostly. Necromunda, interestingly, still seems to be in stock everywhere, but that's got a bigger price tag, and I don't know if that's put people off.
Yeah,
I think with it coming out at a similar time to the Sisters, I think people
have been waiting for the Sisters. But that's definitely a bargain. You know, there's like 16 sprues of scenery in there, so I would recommend picking it up because it's probably going to be cheaper than the individual kits.
Mm-hmm.
So they mentioned that one of the ways they're going to try and get around this is with a new factory. Now, I think we mentioned that on their financials a couple of months ago that there was power grid issues in Nottingham, that basically they were using all the power.
Yeah.
And I think whatever needed to be done there has been resolved, and they've been given clearance for a brand new factory next door.
And warehouse, I think.
And warehouse, yeah, and, you know, new supply lines and all. Massive, massive investment, it looks.
So they'll probably sell out now in 2 minutes rather than 1 minute.
so where we've said that, you know, these are super rapid-fire releases. If they've got two factories churning out kits now, we're going to see crazy quick releases from Games Workshop now.
Yeah, we are.
And I think that does back up the fact that we mentioned about, could we see these kind of starter boxes for all armies now? We get a load of kits and the book together in a £125 box.
Because mm-hmm.
people are buying them.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, part of me is like, wish I picked one up.
Yeah. Well, because if you think about the Chaos Slaves of Darkness new release is essentially the same kind of setup, isn't it? Three unique sprues in a box. Packages to start collecting, but they could have bundled that with the Codex and people would have bought that as well.
Yeah.
In fact, you would have bought that, Jay.
I would have bought that, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think this will be something we'll see going forward. Apologies to anyone who didn't get it. Once I've got my hands on it, we will be doing a review of it, though. So I'm kind of glad that we managed to get hold of one.
Yep. Yeah, really looking forward to it.
I think they were saying as well there might be some available in your actual stores.
Yes, so there is an allocation to stores. I know Crew, for example, Dan thinks he's going to get 2 or 3 max, and he's already kind of people were having issues ordering them. So
he's already got people. I think when Feast of Bones came out, he only got the one.
Mm-hmm.
Although, funnily enough, he was telling everybody about it, and it took a week to sell.
Did it?
Yeah. it's funny, isn't it?
If what I'd say is, if you can get anywhere near Warhammer World, is probably your best chance of getting one.
Well, yeah, they'll have more stock than everybody else.
You know, I say more stock; they probably have like 20 boxes max, but you're going to be more likely to get one there than at your local store, where there might be one that's already kind of put away to somebody who had trouble ordering it.
Yeah.
Aren't we at Warhammer World on release day?
No, we're not.
This is the day after.
So it's released on Black Friday.
So it's the day before.
Oh, interesting.
And we are there on the Saturday now. They might have a pallet worth for that they're going to keep aside for the open day.
Right.
If you're not at the front of the queue, you're not going to get one, though.
No.
So, yeah, your best chance is get to Warhammer World, opening time, Black Friday. Yep. You might be able to get one if you're super lucky.
Everybody's rushing to book days off work now.
Yep. We had some fairly epic news about the day after the podcast last week.
Yeah, well, we'd heard, we were talking about what it could mean. There was posts on teasers on Facebook about Square Bases making a comeback in some shape or form.
Yep.
In Square form, actually.
Square form. it was all revealed on Warhammer Community the following day at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, so, now there had been this teaser trailer with Tony Cottrell from the Forge World team talking about how it'd be nice to do the equivalent of the Horus Heresy, but for Warhammer. And yeah, the reveal is Warhammer the Old World is a new system that's coming out with new models, with rules written by a dedicated team in the Warhammer studio, which is an interesting point because I've seen a lot of talk on Twitter. Forge World are doing essentially 30k Warhammer set in the Old World.
Yeah,
I'm not entirely convinced this is actually a Forge World line. The fact that it says it's the Warhammer studio that's doing it.
Yeah. I think the lines are becoming blurred when it comes between Forge World and GW, though. I mean, people are going to see that Tony Cottrell was sort of in the video with Wade teasing this. Obviously, you would think he's the head honcho at Forge World, so that would have some kind of connection. But I think we've been talking about this over the past few weeks. Forge World and Games Workshop, they're kind of all one in the same now.
Yeah, it's all blurring together. I imagine this will be plastic kits. It'd be surprising if it wasn't plastic kits.
New models surprised me. I wasn't expecting new model ranges. I thought it was going to be Warhammer Fantasy. I thought that was pretty obvious. The older ranges, so you could do your Wood Elves, your High Elves, your Orcs of old. The fact that it's a new model range, that's so exciting to
me. Well, you know, it's... I think I said this to you when we were... it was on the running up to the kind of 3 o'clock deadline. I was like, they want to make money here. It's very unlikely they're going to put out a rule set so you can go on eBay and buy a load of old models at extortionate rates. And really, if they re-release those old kits, do they have that appeal of the new ones? Compared to, imagine a brand new Wood Elf kit with the current, you know, well, this stylings is what, and
this is what I mean.
They've got.
Like the High Elves were a great faction. The Dwarfs, the old Dwarfs, really, really cool. Dated models, the old Longbeards, the old Hammers. The anticipation of a brand new traditional dwarf army, dwarf cannons, dwarf infantry, new dwarf Ironbreakers, perhaps. It's going to be so cool.
Brand new Tomb Kings.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think this is a cool thing.
It leaves the door open for the stuff in Age of Sigmar to just go proper fantasy.
Yeah.
Like, well, Caradon
Overlords. I think it's good. And there's, you know, there's people, different people will appeal to the two games. Like Lee, you mentioned last week, loves traditional blocks of units. And, you know, I do like that too, but I love the Age of Sigmar aesthetic. I like that it's split. Kind of how we've seen with, I think we mentioned this last week, 30k and 40k having different rule sets. Now, arguably, 40k is the better rule set, but you've still got that kind of more complicated system for the people who want to do that.
Yep.
I think it's really exciting. I mean, one thing that they have really stressed is this is not something that's coming soon. this is some time away.
No, and I've got a theory on this, which ties in with something later on in the news. But yeah, it soonest we're talking like 3 years, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah. You'll get some use out of those Cities of Sigmar with your old school Empire and Dwarfs for now.
Ah, oh, imagine the models you could put in your Cities of Sigmar army a few years though.
Yeah, well, they might not be Cities of Sigmar. They might kind of fade away, and you get your big new human Azir faction then.
Yeah. Just as planned, as you should say.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that's very exciting. That wasn't the only tease in this news post, though. At the very, very end, in a little footnote, it mentions some Age of Sigmar releases, and, you know, that's not everything. And there's some huge, some would say giant plans, and there's more news soon, but they'll have to keep it heesh-heesh, hush-hush. That pun didn't really work so well, but... yeah, so I think we've got two potential teasers here. Now, obviously, the huge giant Gargants haven't had... I think they're the only really faction that haven't had rules for Age of Sigmar
just,
now.
I mean, Ale Guzzlers appeared in Gloomspite Gits.
But as their own keyword faction.
Yeah.
That's not what they were in Gloomspite.
Yeah, they are. Ale Guzzler Gargants are in Gloomspite Gits.
But are they in the book?
Yeah.
No.
I'm pretty sure... You guys carry on talking.
Yeah,
I'm pretty
but yeah, sure so... I think we will see a faction of giants here, the equivalent of titans in 40k.
Yeah.
And they could do some really, really cool... knights, sorry, in 40k. They could do some really, really cool stuff with them.
Yep.
There you go.
They've got
yeah, but they're in the book.
Yeah, they're in the book. Carry on. I'll double check.
The rumour engine from this week as well.
Mm. So a massive mace with a skull for scale. I think we're going to see... The old giant kit could build three distinct types of giants, arguably, with the various bits that it's got.
Yeah, you had the slave
Empire
giant
one,
from the Ogre.
Slave one, you've got a chaos one with horns,
yeah.
And then loads of various bits that you can give it to distinguish between different flavours of battle line giant, maybe. And then all you'd need is, if we're thinking knights, you could have one kit that builds a hero, or a caster, or a big brutish elite one, like we saw with the Trogoths.
Yes.
And then... a year down the line, release the same kit with another sprue to build a different variant.
Yep.
You can expand on these big kits pretty easily now.
Yep.
And, you know, you've got an army there with five or six models, which also is kind of what both of us kind of wanted to see in our top threes last week, so good to see that happen.
And we might see as well, is it the is it in the recent Ogre book where the models count as 10 for capture objective, so you'll see that sort of rule, I imagine, in there as well.
Yeah, I think this is one to watch, and yeah, they'd spray up really well with an airbrush, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I think they'd be a very popular army.
Yeah, and then at the end of this, the kind of heesh kind of bit, we know that's where Teclis and Tyrion and their angelic elves of light live.
Mm-hmm.
Could we finally see the elf faction that Jay has wanted for all of Age of Sigmar?
Yeah.
I'm going to be spoiled because there's going to be Canoffi potentially next year, Tyrion and Teclis elves next year, and Slaves of Darkness, giant chaos lords on giant lizards next year. I'm not going to have time to do Sisters of Baal. I'm not even worried about not missing out on the Sisters of Baal.
Yeah. Crazy amount.
Do you think then this will be the next Age of Sigmar battle box?
Not sure. We've heard some whispers through the internet about a potential Tzeentch / Caradhran Overlords box.
That'd be cool.
Well, both of those army books are probably due a refresh
yeah.
in line with Sylvaneth and...
Well, yeah, and if you think about it, we saw the same revealed at the open day last year, the New Year open day, with the Skaven versus Flesh Eaters,
yeah.
with the battle box and then the books out the same week, and that was pretty much the entirety of the release.
Yeah.
These two armies would work with that. Yeah, two extra characters in the box.
Yeah,
maybe a plastic blue scribes, that'd be cool.
Yeah, well, I said the Tzeentch have actually got a really up-to-date modern... varied range, and the Caradhran Overlords, of course, are not that old, really. A new character model would be pretty good for them.
Well, thinking about this, we've seen, you know, a lot of Behemoths become Battle of Line. I would put money on Gunhaulers becoming Battle of Line.
Definitely, yeah.
Could we see an upgrade sprue that makes one of the Sky Fleet vehicles into a character, like a commander model?
Ooh, that'd be cool.
I would like to see a Caradhran scenery piece more than anything.
Skyport.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be really sweet.
And I'd also like to see some endless spells for the Caradhrons that aren't endless spells, but are
ammunition, different munitions. Rockets and stuff. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. Some torpedoes coming out of your ironclads.
Yeah.
I think there are some things that are absolute certainties, like the Navigator probably getting the priest keyword.
Yeah.
Like we've seen in all
with
these
the, with the Fire Slayers, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, obviously these are just rumours at the minute, but this is easy, a week, I call it a filler release, it is really, but it's a big release.
Yeah, well, and I think it will be quite a well-received release,
yeah,
because Caradhran Overlords, they were one of the early factions which were completely different in Warhammer Fantasy sort of universe. We've not seen these like steampunkish dwarfs before, but it's been a while since that book came out, and I don't play Caradhran Overlords, but I think when you compare it to some of the newer books, it probably does struggle a little bit.
I think they're doing quite well in the tournament scene at the moment.
Shooty's good at the minute.
Yeah, I suppose.
And
yeah.
I think Cities of Sigmar's given them some help, because obviously in the some of the builds you can take Caradhran.
Tempest Eye, isn't it?
Giving them the benefits of the more up-to-date Allegiance abilities, which is what they need, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then Tzeentch were really powerful, got heavily hit because they were way too powerful, probably a bit too hard, so they're not as competitive at the minute. But they can still throw out an absolute endless spell bonanza.
Yeah. Well,
I've been on the receiving end of that, I think.
You have, yeah. So, yeah, I think they just need some tuning, probably not massive work needed. A couple of new plastic models here and there. I think we'll see a big... early year army release first, then this is a filler, and then, you know, all bets are off, really, with the releases we've seen this year.
Does that just leave Seraphon after that, then?
I think
that Seraphon
will be the only book that isn't up to date.
Yeah. Okay, interesting.
I think they potentially need more plastic kits than any of the previous books that have been re-released. Maybe that's why Seraphon is
I could see Seraphon being a bigger release, yeah.
Because they need a new Slan, don't they?
And a Brontosaurus.
I mean, that's it. When those dinosaurs come out, they were huge, but I mean, they pale in comparison now to some of the kits. I mean, the Mawkush is bigger than the beast.
Well, I wasn't thinking necessarily that they would like replace some of the dinosaurs they've already got, but I could definitely see them getting some plastic.
Yeah.
New dinosaurs, yeah, and new plastic characters, because I think they've only really got the Skink. Star Priest.
I wonder if they could bring Master Mundi back in some form.
Yeah, on a big Stegodon.
Forget Stegodon, think bigger, some kind of Megalodon or something, I don't know. But yeah, this is just random thoughts. That'd be cool. I'd be all over that.
Yeah.
They could tie that in with an Exodite army and crossover.
I told you last week, Battle Box Jurassic Park.
Yeah. Exodites versus Seraphon.
Bring it. Sounds good to me. The Red Goblin, who's got rules over on Warhammer Community.
Mm.
These are Warhammer Legend, unfortunately, so they're not recommended for competitive play. Which they've got points, which is good, and I think that was something that wasn't received well for the Sigmar stuff originally, that there wasn't points so you could use your Dark Elves, etc. in games of Age of Sigmar. I imagine they've probably now decided, well, we'll put that in the old world and keep that there. Warhammer Legend, December, I think it starts, and I think the points might be in chapter approved. And this is basically taking all those models that haven't got rules in current codexes.
Chaplains on bikes, etc.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. Giving them points so you can play, you know, friendly games, but you can't use them at tournaments. Now, they might have Warhammer Legend tournaments, which would be cool.
Yeah.
I think that's a good midpoint. Give them rules. Give them points so you can use them in some kind of capacity, but don't expect them to be updated and get all the benefits from the army.
Well, I think they said once you've got points, they'll never be revised. Yeah. That's just it.
And that's fine. That's better than having no points.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, the Red Goblin has got rules. I think he can give units of Gretchen presents in the form of stick bombs.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. It's a shame there isn't a stratagem that lets them all throw, because 30 grots throwing stick bombs would be amazing.
That would be ace.
But yeah, he looks pretty cool. He does quite a bit of damage with his pistol as well. It's a shame he's not a HQ choice.
Yeah, is
he's
still
grot. He's an elite choice, so he still can't do a grot army, sadly.
I mean, to be fair, we've been in Warhammer Legends. You could just make an HQ choice, yeah.
Yeah, gotta be done. We've had some Horus Heresy news. So 2020 is planning to be a busy year for the Horus Heresy. We've seen Blood Angels, the Angels Tears, who've got jump packs, Volkite weapons, and grenade launchers. These look pretty cool.
Yeah, I think, are these the alternative destroyers type infantry? Yeah.
Yeah, they look pretty cool.
The face masks are quite distinct looking, like almost like death masks, aren't they?
They're
A bit of a Sanguinary Guard vibe.
There is a bit of foresight into, you know, what actually happens to Sanguinius there in those face masks. Yeah.
So that rounds out the Malevolence releases. Jigeti Khan, I think, still missing.
Yeah,
isn't
and it? I think there's also a Blood Angels unit still missing. The Dawnbreakers.
Are they the Terminator guys?
No, they're the Crimson Paladins. The Dawnbreakers are extra, or jump pack infantry as well.
Okay, so I wonder if they'll come along with these. Obviously, they've not revealed everything this week. Open day again might be another good shout to see some of this. Book 9 is coming next year, which is Dark Angels versus Night Lords. Could this be your into the 30k scene, Dave?
Could be.
I think the lion's going to be a good model.
I think he'd be a good model.
A big sword, two-handed Zweihander sword.
Yeah, presumably he'll be out next year. They tend to tie in the big Primarch release with the book.
Who's the loyalist Primarch coming out alongside
that? And then with that, that'll be all the Primarchs out.
Ooh.
Yep. Yeah, once Jakatai comes out, yeah. Yeah. Then it's got to be the Emperor then, hasn't it? Sure.
Well, yes, this is it. So this is kind of the end of the conflict. Now, after this, it's the Siege of Terror.
Yeah.
Now, they mentioned that the Siege of Terror books will be continuing. There'll probably be books. We've got 3 out next week. So we've got 4, 5, and 6, I guess, next year if they've got a similar release scale.
Release schedule,
and then the final 2 books the year after.
Yeah.
Which means that that could align well with a Siege of Terror black book for Horus Heresy coming out the year after next as well.
Yeah. We also need the Demon Primarchs by then, unless they use the plastic
kit. I mean, they I suppose the plastic kits are what the Demon Primarchs look like.
Yeah,
it would be pointless them doing more Demon Primarchs, wouldn't they? In resin.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'm in 2 minds.
Maybe upgrade kits or something.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, the Demon Primarchs that we've got currently are built for a different scale of the game. Horus Heresy, the older style models are smaller scale.
But you've got, you know, mastodons and stuff.
I guess.
And these guys are probably going to have stat lines comparable with your big monsters as
this
well.
This is true, yeah.
You know, because you've got in the Malevolence book, you've got Demon Lords, you know, the resin Heresy models, which look brilliant, but their current rules in, say, AOS, for example, pale in comparison to how epic they were back in the day.
Yeah.
So I imagine the Demon Primarch will probably be a similar power level where it's like, you know, ridiculous points, but awesome, but a big chunky model for a big target, so, you know, there's a downside.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that is pretty cool. Interestingly, we're not going to get a Weekender in 2020, which is traditionally when they release all this new stuff. Could that be because they've not got enough to show, or because they're busy working on stuff?
Interesting.
We don't really know at the minute. Titanicus will be having new models and supplements, though. I think the Warbringer Titans are a good shout.
Oh, yeah, that's the one we saw at the New Year Open Day last year.
Last year,
In the 40K full scale. Size one.
But they for the more recent Titans, such as the Warlord, I think they used the same CAD files and scaled them down. Yeah. So for, I guess, all new Titans, it's going to be a lot easier to scale them to...
When are we going to see Xenos Titans? How old is this game now? 2 years?
A year came out last year. It came out the same week as Dark Uprising did year.
So it's not as old as I thought it was then.
No, it's not. It's just time's flowing that fast.
Yeah.
And they said a couple of years for Xenos stuff. So I think we'll see... We'll round out the 30k Titans, and then I think we'll see some Orcs, I'd guess.
Yeah, they would be the first alien, wouldn't they?
Because again, just thinking from a design perspective, a lot of the assets they've made for Aeronautica could easily be ported over to Titanicus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you've got it's the same scales. You've got the weapons and all the kind of gubbins and stuff. So we'll see, but that'd be cool. And Warhammer Live is going to have more 30k content as well. So I think there's a real push to get some more 30k out. Still no sign of it using a different rule system. I think they're going to keep the existing rule system that they've got, which is essentially the last edition of Warhammer 40k.
7.5, yeah.
The big question is, once this is completed, what's going to happen? Now, that timeline takes us 2 or 3 years, which by a freakish coincidence is about the timeline we're expecting for the Old World.
Yeah, so...
So does it finish at the Siege of Terror? And that's now, you've got all your rules, all the models are out, that's done and boxed off. Now we move on to Warhammer Fantasy.
Yeah, I think that's a really good shout. I mean, for resource, just for pure manpower and resources, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they have said it's a new team working on the Old World.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is there's a chance Sanguinius will be in Warhammer Old World.
yeah, that's exactly what I said. So yeah, so it's interesting. Obviously, we don't know anything. We might learn more as the year goes on. It's similar to how they've been teasing the sisters for the last year. They're going to do the same with the next Heresy book as well.
Mm.
So you might see little glimpses of the Lion
Emperor. Oh, the Lion, yeah, of course.
Be the Lion.
Who's got a beard, if you've seen in the artwork.
Oh, sold.
He reminds me of Arthas pre-Lich King.
He does, yeah. So yeah, for Blood Angel fans in the 41st millennium, though, we've seen a certain librarian return.
Vampire.
Librarian, vampire, cool dude.
Very nice model. Quite an iconic Blood Angel, really. Quite a popular Blood Angel. I've never actually owned this model in my Blood Angel. The Mephiston Librarian, in case you haven't realised what we're talking about. I don't actually have this model in my 40k Blood Angels.
Never been interested in collecting a Blood Angels army, but I'd buy that model. He's amazing.
So, Mephiston has crossed the Rubicon Primaris, and he looks a bit awesome, doesn't he?
He looks fantastic.
Yeah, very good. Look, he just looks very powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think all of the new Primaris characters have looked very good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm thinking? If they made a new kind of 40k first-person shooter, this is like computer game character territory right here with Mephiston.
Yeah.
We have an alternate build as well, which I think is the first of the Primaris...
Yeah, so he's holding his plasma pistol, or he's kind of holding his temple kind of with some kind of psychic backlash.
Headache, yeah.
Wiping his nose pose.
Marnus Kalgar had a different helmet, I guess.
Yeah.
But the same pose. But yeah, I don't know which sculpt I prefer. Which I think I actually quite like the one with his pistol holstered and he's holding his nose, his face.
I prefer the plasma pistol one. But I like plasma pistols.
This plasma pistol is quite dangerous on Mephiston, though.
Yeah, he's
only awesome. Overcharge it.
Yeah.
I think his profile's very similar. He's gained an additional wound and additional attack.
Yeah.
He can still kill himself with his plasma pistol, though.
Yeah, he's quite brutal on the charge, I think. I think looking at his rules, 5, strength 10. Well, it's not 5, is it? It's
6.
It's 6 because he's a space marine. There are some stratagems in the Blood Angels Codex that can get him up to 7.
You might get some psychic powers that increase that as well.
Yeah, well, there is actually, yeah. In the current Blood Angels Codex. But then I also forgot the Blood Angels trait of +1 to wound. So he's going to be strength 10 in combat with +1 to wound. Does that mean he's wounding knights on a 2?
So knights are toughness 8, so yeah, 2s.
So he's wounding knights on a 2, AP minus 3, damage D3, and then he can obviously fight again. He's got a 12-inch move. I mean, I was a bit worried he doesn't have an invulnerable save, but I don't think there's going to be much left standing in front of him where he would need an invulnerable
save. You charge this fellow to Titans and he'd get on all right.
Yeah,
fucking heck. Yeah, he sounds mental.
So he is up for pre-order on the 30th of November, which is the 40k open day. Now, I feared that this was going to be the only kind of reveal we're going to get at the open day. He's out in the open now. I think a lot of it will be the new system models that we haven't seen, such as the St. Catherine. Which sounds amazing. Yeah. For a kind of Catacross kind of vibe.
From what I've heard about it, it sounds fantastic. And I think we also haven't seen... is it the Retributors? Or have we seen a couple of those?
They're the heavy weapons.
We've seen a few of the heavy weapons. I mean, they probably...
They've got a lot of pretty
stuff. Oh, and we haven't seen the Battle Sanctum, which is their scenery piece.
No, we haven't. So I think we'll see all that at the open day. We might get a glimpse at what's coming next for 40k at the open day as well, which is exciting. But yeah, pick him up on the 30th of November. We'll order him on the 30th of November, out the first week in December.
Is that him and the campaign book?
Yeah, the campaign book at the same time, which is Blood Angels versus Tyranids.
Well, yeah.
No new Tyranid models, then.
No new Tyranid... No new Tyranid models.
I do believe there's some Tyranid reboxes, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. So, hopefully the Tyranids get some love in there as well. Again, we'll probably know more of that next week, even. They'll start having previews, I guess.
Yeah, looking forward to that. This tournament. But I could be taking Tyranids to Warhammer World at Christmas.
That'd be good. You'll have new rules and everything.
So I'll have new rules. We'll see what they're like, and then see if I'll be taking them and killing some Iron Ravens and some Eldar and Knights. Who else is going? Brett's taking Knights. Necrons.
Dark Eldar
are going again. Yeah.
So should be fun.
Yeah, it'll be good. And then the last kind of bit of news, Mortal Realms magazine. We have had whisperings and rumours, and it's quite a while now we've known about this magazine.
Yeah.
But it is officially launched in January.
Yeah.
Which isn't what a lot of people... I think I said January back when I got the original letter and thought, I bet it's January. Some people online are like, nah, they're not going to do that. They'll make sure it starts after the other series, Conquest, has ended. But no, it is January that it starts. So there's going to be a couple of months overlap, which is a shame for people collecting both of them.
Did Conquest start in January? Didn't it?
I thought it did. Other people said it.
I think there's a reason they start in January.
Well, yeah, because you have all those adverts on the TV for these part works. Yeah. You've got the first couple of issues that are dirt cheap. I mean, for, was it $2.99, you get 10
Chain Rasp,
3 Sequiturs, 6 Dice and a Range Ruler. I'm going to try and buy a couple of them myself just to pad out some Chain Rasp units.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure you'll go on to mention in a moment, but there's an image online which goes to show you might not need to do that if you collect the full series.
Well, no, so they shared a really low resolution image that even blown up in Photoshop as best as I could. I couldn't make out everything.
No.
But if you head over to sprewsandbrews.com, I've kind of broken down the kind of headline items, so... you've got the... What's the big fella for the...
Celestine Prime.
Celestine Prime. You've got some Evocators and Dracolines. It looks like you've got a few of the mounted heroes as well, which is really cool. And then a load of different infantry. There's definitely 2 Ballistas. I can't make out any Evocators on foot, but it is super blurry.
I saw 5 Evocators in there. There was at least 1 unit of Liberators.
A lot of Vanguard guys. There's some Griffhounds in there.
Saw some birds.
Yeah, there's the Knight Venator, is it? The guy with wings?
Yeah, at the back, yeah. Yeah, so, he can be built as the Knight Azros or the Venerator, whichever you want. Well, unless they don't give you the parts in the magazine.
Well, they would give you the parts because it's just the sprues.
Yeah, yeah.
With that bit clipped out.
That bit clipped out, yeah.
So, yeah, so it looks really, really good. I mean, that's hundreds of pounds worth of Stormcast there. You also get a massive Nighthaunt army with every single Nighthaunt character. Some of these are like £30 kits as well.
Is a Black Coach Nighthaunt?
Black Coach is. You don't get a Black Coach, sadly. I mean, that's like a £90 kit.
Yeah, that's
an
expensive kit.
Instead, you get the Mortis Engine. People said, that's strange, it's not Nighthaunt, they can ally it in. So, and that's an episode of the magazine. Oh, you can do allies in Age of Sigmar, so it makes sense from that standpoint.
Yeah,
I think for all the heroes, loads and loads of units of infantry. There's some, like, what they call Grimghast and Orstorts in there.
Grimghast Reapers. I think there's at least 2 lots of Banshees. Yeah. I think you get 1 lot of Banshees quite early in the run.
Issue 2, I think.
More later on. Who else did I spot? Yeah, like you say, there's loads of Chain Rasps, all the different
characters. But looking at it, just eyeballing it, and again, these are really low-resolution images, I can see most of the infantry units that the Nighthawk can take.
Do you get the Shade Spy Underworlds models in this series? No, you don't. Okay, because there's some Nighthorn and Stormcast versions of those, aren't there?
Yeah.
There is, but they're not in there.
The, the Dreadblade Harridans, the two horse-mounted guys, you get them in there. You also get, I think there's about 36 paints, a load of hobby tools and materials and stuff, and a load of scenery. Yeah. So you get the Warcry scenery, which is really cool.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You get some of the Stormvault stuff. None of the actual base plates, because I think they'll be bigger than the magazine, to be fair. Mm. But all of the Griffhound statues and the Sigmar statue and the kind of the smaller plinths and some of the bits and bobs out of there.
Which some of the really ruins as well?
I think they were the Warcry walls, though.
Oh, were they?
And then you get most of the Garden of Moor as well.
Right.
Which is a really nice kit.
And the objectives. Six objectives. I've just recently got some objectives in the 40k.
Okay, again, it's super blurry. They might be hidden in there. Yeah. But yeah, it looks really, really good.
Didn't mention as well, you get an exclusive Stormcast.
You do, yeah.
Knight Encantor.
Episode...
Not that you can ever cram more than one Knight Encantor into a list.
It's a really nice one, though.
Yeah, but they're all really nice ones.
And I think it comes in issue 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Maybe issue 5. We've got the details of the first 5 issues on the website.
Yeah.
As we know more, we'll update it. Normally... each delivery will know the next month's worth of stuff.
Yeah.
Unless we get lucky and come across the entire release schedule.
Well, we were very lucky last time. I think one of our loyal community members actually spotted the full Conquest lineup, so we very quickly got that online.
I believe it's when it launched in Spain. Yeah. It was out in the wild briefly, and someone managed to grab it for us. So,
yeah.
If we can get the same again, that'd be awesome. If not, we'll update it as we go. But
so,
yeah.
So, how much are these magazine series a month?
So. Each issue is £7.99. I believe it's £36 a month you get billed, Jay?
Yes, something like that. Just about £35, something.
Yeah, so you get billed monthly, you get all of the issues sent monthly as well.
Yeah, you get four issues episodes in a box, yeah. And then I think for the first, I don't know if they're doing it for this one, but you got some gifts with the first few deliveries. So
yep, we've got painting handles, paint pot, the palettes, which are really nice, the terrible palettes.
Yeah.
You get some cleaning tools, a little mould line remover, clippers, and some folders, I want to say.
Yeah, I got some binders with 40k, and we also got some... I'm thinking of...
The book series.
The book series, yeah.
Now, they did do some limited edition books, though, as part of the release as well, that you could opt out of.
Yeah, like the Silver Templars and things like that.
I'm really... I don't know if I can go to 40 quid a month, but I'm really... Because I really like my Celestial Vindicators, and I'd love to add more units to them, and it seems like the perfect reason. And also, I've got quite a few... Well, I've not got quite a few Nighthorn units. I've got the Contents of Soul Wars. So it'd be nice to round them out as well.
Well, you know, if you think about it, issue one, you get £35 worth of stuff.
Yeah.
Some of these issues have got 30 quid. We've seen it with Conquest, where you get a full kit. In an £8 magazine. Yeah. Now, sometimes you might only get a couple of pots of paint, but it always seems to be you'll get something at least equal to the cover price of the magazine.
Yeah. I have got some of your sprues at home, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was building some Death Guard, actually, during the week before I decided on taking Tyranids. I built Lord Feltius's Core, so I was thinking of throwing them in the Death Guard.
Cool.
I mean, I've got the Plague Crawler as well.
Yeah.
So
I do think it is very good and nice for a hobby project and just something a bit different than your normal army.
Hmm.
I mean, my Iron Ravens is mostly stuff out of Conquest magazine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've added some of the more recent Vanguard stuff, but I'm going to subscribe to it. I think it's a good deal.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. And that is the news.
Wowzers. So quite a bit in there. Let us know what you think about some of those news pieces. Head on to social media at Sprues and Brews, facebook.com. /Sprues and Brews or comment on the website. We're going to take a breather because that was quite a large section, but when we come back, we're not quite finished yet because we've got our feature coming right up next, as well as our top 3 gifts for Warhammer fans. So another year is coming to an end. We're still in November. We've still got December to go. But we always like looking forward at Sprues and Brews. You could call us optimists in that.
Yeah, and there's a couple of busy weeks podcast-wise coming up, so I think this is the only slot we've got free for
a look exactly.
Ahead.
I know a quieter week doesn't really exist in the Warhammer hobby, but this week is a bit of a quieter week. So we decided to have a little bit of a mini feature this week, looking at what we're currently planning on doing come 2020, new Warhammer projects. So of course, there's going to be announcements in the next 4 or 5 weeks, especially with the Open Day coming up. But as of right now, what are we thinking of taking into the new year?
We've got 2 Open Days, potentially, because you've got the one in November,
yeah,
and then there'll be the New Year Open Day.
Yeah, that's true.
So 2 opportunities to revise our decisions on what we're doing next year.
This is it, yeah. Until the next Open Day after that.
Yeah.
Warhammer Fest wins that. That's the first half of the year, isn't it?
June or July, I think. So, who wants to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. So, one of the things I want to do next year is a lot of the smaller games that we haven't had a chance to play this year. I'm going all in on Necromunda.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking about playing Necromunda for, well, 2 years the game's been out. I don't think we've had a game with a new edition, have we?
No. To be fair as well, the new models that have come out, especially the Enforcers, they are attracting me to the game more than any of the other gangs have so far. And I think that's part of the draw. You need to like the models.
In a lot of the more recent expansions, it's a lot more freeform as well. I picked up the recent book that came out alongside Dark Uprising, the Book of
Ruin,
that's the one. And the Gene Stealer Cult rules, you can pretty much take whatever you like. You could use a Magus model maybe to represent your leader, or kit bash something up from the Gene Stealer Cult sprues. You can use the hybrid guys as well with the three arms.
Oh, yeah.
You've got a lot of options there. All the weapons on all those kits are options you can take. The two-handed hammer guys.
Signposts.
Yeah. Two-handed signpost dudes. all those weapons are in the book, which is really cool. So you can just go crazy converting up your guys. For the chaos ones, it says use whatever kit you like. It suggests using the Blackstone Fortress expansion packs to put together a cultist gang. And it's good to see that kind of thing rather than having to stick to the released kits.
Yeah.
I mean, Bounty Hunter is the best example, where you pretty much choose the profile. You might only have 6 or 7 guys in your gang, but they're all super nails, and you can use whatever model you've got. You can tweak it to fit those profiles, which is cool. I want to do some Necromunda. I'm going to paint up the Zone Mortalis. I love me a bit of scenery, so I'll be working on that. And
what warband are you thinking for Necromunda? Is your primary warband?
Bounty Hunters.
Bounty Hunters.
But I am going to try and build over the year each warband. If only for the fact that if we did some campaigns and you guys haven't got the models, we could start a campaign with those various gangs.
Yeah.
You know, Gene Stealer Cults, I've got loads of spare sprues I can do. I was looking at the list, it looks really good. Chaos Cultists, I think, would be fun converting stuff up, as are the Bounty Hunters. But then, like you mentioned earlier, Vansar look really cool.
Yeah, they do, with the high-tech weapons.
The Dalak guy, I played Dalak back in the original release of Necromunda. They were awesome.
The Matrix guys, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I want to get some Necromunda gangs. And in the same way as Underworlds, it's not a massive commitment having to paint them. You know, when you start in gang, it's probably going to have less than 10 models in it.
Yeah.
And you've probably got enough bits on the sprue to make your starting gang, and then additional bodies later on.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think the £26 the gangs for Necromunda.
Mm.
And you, I suppose you could just build them following the instructions, but I'd recommend maybe looking through the kind of gangs of the Underhive
and decide what you want to arm
your
list with.
See what you want to arm your initial guys with. Even if you have to buy another box later on to add your extra guys who've been added over the course of the campaign. The campaign formats they've put out have been really good, covering like 6 or 7 weeks, which isn't a massive amount of time to commit to it as well. Because the problem with some of these things is they drag on for months and months and months and everyone loses interest. Where if you only have to commit to one game a week for 6 weeks, even we can do that.
Yeah, we can. Yeah.
So, yeah, I want to get some Necromunda on the go. I also want to play some Lord of the Rings as well.
Yeah.
Was a big fan of the game when it initially came out. Haven't had a game with a new edition yet. Got loads of armies built and ready to go. I've got a load of hobbits ready to paint. I'm going to pick up Gandalf on his cart when we're next in Warhammer World, because he can now be added to the Allegiance without breaking it, which is really cool.
Makes sense.
Yeah. It's really good. And I want to do some Rohan for the Defence of Helm's Deep, because that book is out in December too.
God, I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, that'll be really cool.
So, yeah, that kind of stuff that we haven't touched on, I think it'd be good for us to have some quick little games and get some quick videos out as well for that kind of stuff.
Yep.
For 30k, I would like to do a Demons of the Runestorm list. I've got pretty much every demon on model, so I can mix and match and put together some different lists from all that, which is good.
Have you got the new Forge World demon?
Haven't. No. I need to get those guys.
Okay. Yeah.
For 40k, it's going to be the Sisters of Battle.
Mm-hmm.
I've been wanting to do those models since I saw them. Luckily, managed to get the starter box. So, yeah, I think open day will be a wallet emptying exercise for me when I see these awesome new kits.
Yeah.
Luckily, and I've had the book and be able to read kind of what units I want to take, though, which
so
is
you know
advantage.
What you're going to be buying.
Yep.
Yeah. And then Bone Reapers for AOS. Got all the kits ready to go. That's more of a modelling project, really. Luckily, they seem to be really competitive as well.
Yeah,
but
they
yeah,
do.
The primary cause of doing the Bone Reapers is to paint them up looking really nice and kind of like jade armour and stuff. Maybe some cherry blossom. I think that'd be really fun.
And if they just happen to batter us, Jake, then that's just a bonus, really.
That's
you know?
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
What can you do?
I've already got Nagash. I've made a few lists, so yeah.
Ooh, is Nagash making it into the list?
He's in one of the lists.
Ooh. Cool. Hey, so you've got quite a bit on your plate there. So that's probably enough of painting to get you to the end of February, Matt.
Yeah.
Well, I was kind of joking about this with someone the other day, and I can rattle through an army pretty quickly, but I think by having the little kind of Necromunda gangs as a distraction for something different to paint kind of breaks it up a bit, yeah. Rather than, I think where we went wrong last year is we committed to painting an army in like the first 6 months, and you start to run out of steam when you're just painting that army.
Yeah, it becomes more of a job than a hobby.
Yeah,
yeah. So have those,
I find.
The Sisters and the Bone Reapers as the big armies in there, and then, you know, a few demons, a few gangs and stuff to break things up. And Lord of the Rings, they're not massive games. I think the Throne of Skulls is 1,000 points, but a normal game in a tournament is like 600 to 700 points.
Right.
We could easily do that.
Yeah. Cool. So what are you thinking about for 2020, Jay? What projects have you got lined up? I mean, just in this podcast alone, it sounds like you want to buy a lot.
Well, yeah. The main project going into the new year will be the Slaves to Darkness for Age of Sigmar.
Lord on a Lizard, I
fell in love with that model as soon as I saw it. That model and the regular Chaos Warriors, they look so cool. So that's going to be, and I've been looking for an Age of Sigmar army to get my teeth into. I really like the Sylvaneth. It's a shame the dwarfs didn't really amount to anything in the Cities of Sigmar, but in my opinion, so I've been a bit waiting for the Kanofi. That looks like an army I could really enjoy painting.
And it looks like you'll still get your dwarf fix in the old world as well.
That's it, yeah, and I can wait 3 years for that, that's fine. So Slaves to Darkness is the definite army that I'll be working on in the new year. On the 40k side, I'm leaning at the moment towards Blood Angels army, so I've got a big Blood Angels 30k force, but I want to build a 40k army. Now the Primaris models are out, I find it very difficult to pick up one of the old style tactical marines.
Yeah.
I think they pale in comparison. So I'm thinking about doing a Blood Angels Primaris army with Mephiston now leading the army. It may mean I have to do some conversion work on Sanguinary Guard, Death Company.
That's a nice modelling project though, isn't
it? Yeah, that's it, yeah. And I enjoy Blood Angels. I like the background to Blood Angels, and I'm quite happy painting Power Armour. I like the sharp lines on Power Armour, so that's cool.
I mean, we've got rumours of a new edition of 40k coming next year. You could see your Assault Primaris Marines then as well.
Yeah, well, I'm even thinking about converting some Assault Primaris Marines and just coming up with some rules for them, I don't know, just to tie me by. So that's one thing. The Sisters of Battle look great, but I think I'm going to try and resist building the Sisters of Battle army initially and maybe do that towards the second half of the year. And that's it, really. I don't want to try and take on too much. I think next year, if we see a load of good releases for Age of Sigmar, like the Giants don't really appeal to me, but the Elves definitely would. I think if we're seeing them in February, March time, I'll be picking those guys up.
What about the kind of specialist games? Would you be doing some Lord of the Rings and stuff
as well? Yeah, well, on the specialist side, these Palatine Enforcers do look good. I wouldn't mind painting up a squad of them. Lord of the Rings as well is always a game I'd want to get into. I hope I just have more time to try more games. I've also painted up a bit of Infinity at the moment, so I want to be playing some games of Infinity next year. So we'll see. But the Helm's Deep campaign does really appeal to me because that's a fantastic part of the films. And I would paint some wood elves up to join in that campaign, I think.
Mm. Cool.
Yeah. I'm hoping we see some more Eldar for Adeptus Titanicus, or maybe some glimpses of Battlefleet Gothic next year as well, to sort of start thinking about that.
Wasn't Battlefleet Gothic, it's like the 40k version, isn't it, that we think?
Yeah,
Battlefleet Soldiers.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that can't be too far away.
You might start seeing something.
And you know what? In the Solar War, you do see things like that. That'd be an awesome scenario in Gothic.
Yeah.
But to start with, it's purely Slaves of Darkness. So all my money is going down Slaves to Darkness in the new year. In January, that's what I will be paying.
Ace.
2,000 points.
Cool. For me, I think my primary projects going into the new year, because I find it really easy to get excited about Age of Sigmar. Age of Sigmar is by far my favourite system at this moment in time. So I've got some ogres that I'm dying to put paint on. They'll be my primary projects in the new year. I can't wait to get those. I've got the Feast of Bones stuff to start off with, but I already have in mind what I'm going to pick up, like a Beast Claw, Raiders, start collecting, the more parts, some more gluttons. Yeah, really looking forward to that, a Butcher. So that's going to be my main absolute definite project. And I think I'll find it very difficult to not do other Age of Sigmar stuff. I mean, one thing I definitely want to do is I'm absolutely loving Auruk Warclans. They're like, it's the first army in ages where I'm totally like involved in it. So what I want to do next year is, yes, of course, like ready for Warhammer Live when we go on Matt, I'm going to have 2,000 points of Auruk Warclans. But there are so many other ways I want to build this army.
Rogue Idols.
I want a rogue idol to add to the force. I'm thinking a full Gore Grunter list would be cool.
Second Maw Crusher.
Second Maw Crusher with Gordrak.
You seem to be feeling the army much more than your Stormcast or your Undead.
Yeah.
And you've been trying things out and tweaking it and tuning it, which is good.
I haven't beaten you yet with your
maybe that's what it is. I'd like to think that next year, not really a project, but I'd like to take the Auruk Warclans to tournaments.
Yeah. I think they'll do well in the tournament scene.
Yeah.
Have you seen, as a random aside, have you seen today's Warhammer Community article about Iron Jaws?
I have, by Harry from the Dark Artisan. I watched some of their videos, actually.
Oh, cool.
I already kind of knew all that was in there. But yeah, it was
there's some really article. Interesting stuff, like charge a unit in, but don't attack with it, so you take some hits, then kill a unit, then daisy chain that with your, what's it called?
Smashing and bashing.
But then because your unit that you charged took damage because you let the opponent attack first, they can then move at the end of that phase.
No, they can't.
They can if, you can't be within 9 inches of the enemy. But if they're dead...
Oh, yes, correct. So yes, that's right.
So you want them to cause a wound or two to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then kill them and then move them again ready to charge next turn.
Yeah. Yeah, as long as you've taken damage... Yeah.
Some tic tacs.
I definitely want. So ogres is obviously a brand new army I'm starting the new year. Auruk Warclans, I want to keep adding to. I want to keep that army going because I think I just love the book. I think it's fantastic. Just Jimmy didn't get a scenery piece. It's the only downside that
just
I miss
some scenery.
Use on
the battlefield.
So that's my primary project. Necromunda. I mean, we've been on about it for ages, Matt. Like you said. I've always fancied the Orlocks, so I'd like to paint those. Although, the more I think about it, the more actually Gene Sealer Cults might be quite cool. I might have to look at all the Necromunda rules to decide what I really
could,
like.
You could double that up and do a Gene Sealer Cult 40k army.
Well, the 40k is obviously the main games we play are Age of Sigmar and 40k. And I'm not going to lie, I've fallen a little bit out of love with 40k. And maybe it's because I can't settle on an army, which is obviously what I was talking about last week for this tournament on Sunday. I have been thinking going into the new year of Imperial Guard. I've always fancied a tank company Imperial Guard army. Cool. The more I see of Sister Battle, the more I'm like, oh, they're so nice. So that they're very tempting. Gene Sealer Cult, I never really thought of as a 40k army.
You could do Gene Sealer Cult tank company.
Yeah, well, you can add Imperial Guard, can't you?
You can have an entire detachment of Imperial Guard.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. And I do like Tyranids, so it's kind of mixes in with that. So 40k, I'm in a bit of a crossroad about. I don't know what I want to commit to. Maybe the open day will help, and the new year open day as well will help me set upon a path. I'd like to have made a decision by the time we go to Warhammer World at Christmas, because that's when I'd like to come home with the book at least for my shiny army to read up about, ready for the new year. Lord of the Rings. I would like to paint some Lord of the Rings. I really want to do a Minas Tirith army, and with the Rohan book coming out, Isengard with Uruk-hai. I think that'd be really cool.
Are you going to build an army worthy of Mordor, Dave?
I do want to do that. I've already got quite a few Uruk-hai, but They still need to add some stuff. I've got the old metal Saruman and Grima Wormtongue as well. Oh, the new plastic Saruman looks awesome.
It does.
So I'd have to get that mounted and on foot. I would like to do some of that. Like you said, the problem is there's so many different games. I mean, I'd love to try... I've completely forgotten.
Aeronautica.
I'd really like to paint some Imperial Planes. I think that'd be a real change of pace.
Yeah.
And I still haven't got on board with Titanicus. I know nobody's mentioned that for next year.
We only played it a couple of games at the beginning. That's a great game.
It is a really good game. I need to... Once I've got my airbrush, I want to paint up the rest of my Titans and then, get on that as well, because it was such a different game to the other GW
really
systems.
Good, managing your little dashboard. I mean, I can't wait. I think that game will really come back into my mind once we start seeing other races, other factions, rather than just Imperial.
And to be fair, since we played it, there's a lot more weapons now where we had the same weapon options, didn't we? So it was a bit kind of back and forth, where now you've got a bit of choice to how you build your Titans.
Variation,
So I'd like to try that out, but... It's just squeezing it all in, really.
You know what you might like? Last year they released the battle box, didn't they, for the Titan battle group. This year's one, which I think is out the 14th of December, is a knight one.
Is it?
Oh, you got the... Yeah, there's about four different classes of knight you can take now, isn't there?
Yeah.
So that could be something a bit different.
I think that's really where my priorities lie going into the new year. Probably focused a lot on Age of Sigmar, but I do really want to choose a 40k army and really get involved in it.
How about 30k? Have you given any thought to that? Or is it not your cup of tea?
It's I think that my problem with 30k is funds, for one. I think Horus Heresy.
You've got a 30k army, Dave.
I have got, which I'm more than happy. But I think you're more hinting towards a new army. Are you?
No. Just to play 30k.
I'd be perfectly happy playing my Thousand Sons in 30k. Yeah, definitely. Whether or not I would start a new 30k army, probably not. I don't think I could. Until I see the line, probably, yeah. I just don't I like the idea of buying old school tactical marines. Like
that is the problem. Now there's things that I get around, like you've got the Cybernetica, who are cool.
Yeah.
You've got the 30k guard equivalent, the Solar Exilia. Yeah.
But if you're looking at armies like that,
you're looking at big bucks.
Because you're right, a fully robotic army would be amazing, but that would just empty my funds, got a mortgage to pay for, Matt.
And this is the thing where before only Forge World could do these kind of models, where now really you could argue that the current plastic kit, the current Sisters of Battle, are amazing compared to where really the Death Corps Krieg were kind of pinnacle of 40k infantry models, weren't they?
Yeah.
10 years ago, where now this plastic kit, which could be a fraction of the price... and easier to build and paint and put together and convert, is available from your local store without having to order it from Forge World.
I'll be willing to play some games of Horus Heresy, but I probably won't be starting a new army, although I do like the new Dark Angels models, but there you go. I think one thing is for certain, we're going to be spending some money in the new year, quite a lot of it, probably.
Probably.
But that's the... Only downside is hot, isn't it? Yeah. If you're thinking about... I mean, one thing I would like us to do coming into the new year, and we've had some comments from community members who want to get involved, of trying to do some kind of online community painting log or something.
I've had some ideas about this, and previously we've kind of pledged to an arm, we're painting that over so many weeks. I think maybe... even just a weekly / monthly hobby recap of what everybody's currently working on, just to encourage each other to work through stuff.
We could review pictures at the end of the month, every fourth podcast or something.
Let us know what you guys think. Would you like to get involved in something like that? Tweet to us at Sprues and Brews. Head on to facebook.com/Sprues and Brews. We're starting to get a growing number of comments on Instagram as well, so do check us out on there or comment on the website. We'd love to hear your thoughts and maybe some ideas of what we could do going into January and all these new shiny projects.
Yeah.
And I completely forgot, if I go for Mortal Realms, I'll have more Stormcast and Nighthorn to paint as well. But there you go. We're going to take a pause and we're going to come back with this week's top three. on to everybody's favourite segment of this podcast. It is this week's top three. So, with the Christmas theme kind of being in the air at the moment, we're going to discuss our top three gifts that we think Warhammer fans would like. So, quite an interesting one. We did something similar last year. Let's see what we... what we decide on. We have got your community picks. There's quite a few of them. We'll read those out in the final segment of the podcast. But Matt, do you want to start us off with your third choice?
Yeah, so my first one is a bit of a stocking filler. Now, if you live anywhere within driving distance of Warhammer World and you've never been, then why not ask Santa for a ticket to the exhibition hall?
Mm.
Now, they do sell these online now. You can also get them bundled with the book with all the dioramas and everything in there.
Yeah.
I think that's a nice little stocking filler for someone who maybe is into the hobby but haven't visited Warhammer World yet.
If you don't know what army to build next, a trip around the exhibition centre will help you.
Yeah, it will.
So if you've not been before, essentially it's got all of the heavy metal kind of showcase in there, massive dioramas with, you know, thousands of models on some of them. Some really, really crazy impressive stuff, like the big Ultramarines centrepiece.
I really like the smaller pieces, like the Warlord. Is it Warlord Titan with all the ab mech around it and like the hanger and stuff? Just stuff like that's really cool.
And if you've been before, they update it regularly. Today, I believe the Ossiarch Bone Reaper diorama opened there.
Ah, because it's been the Age Sigmar area's been closed, hasn't it, for a couple of days whilst the. Do that, and also the really impressive. In fact, that's not even in the exhibition hall, is it? The Rohan scene from Pelennor Fields.
Yeah, that was in the main entrance for a while.
I like the Tau fighting the Adeptus Mechanicus on the L-shaped board at the back.
Yeah,
so I think it's £7.50 to go in, which is definitely worth it. If you go to an open day, you get that included in your ticket, which is good. But yeah, for stocking filler, get a ticket to the exhibition hall.
And if you're eagle-eyed, you might even come away with an assassin if you can spot him in that. Diorama.
You'll never spot him.
Some people have.
How many times have we looked for him? How many hours have we wasted?
Jay,
we would have been killed by assassins right now, looking for an assassin.
What is your third choice, Jay?
My third choice ties in very nicely to Matt's third choice, and that is a ticket to the Warhammer World Open Day, New Year Open Day.
Cool.
You wake up on Christmas morning, you get your ticket a week later, you're in Nottingham.
I feel you've worn up to me there with a much better idea. Yeah.
Including that ticket, you get free entry.
Great choice, yeah. Ties in very nicely with Christmas as well.
Does, you there, you got your Christmas money, see what's coming out that year, come away with a load of loot.
Dangerous, isn't it?
It is dangerous.
And I have to say, the last one that they did was, you guys couldn't make it, could you, the AOS Open Day, and they've got the system down with, it's still first come first serve, but when you go in, you get a little sticker to put on your ticket for which seminar you want to go and see. And when they were full, they were quite accommodating for people to stand at the back if there was room as well.
Cool.
Which is a big improvement on previous ones where you might not have been so lucky. No,
you had to stand at the entrance and watch the little TV screen flash the new Marnus Calgar model across.
Ace, my third choice is... great if you sort of, you know, your friend quite well and they've been sort of tempted by an army, and that is a character, a blister character.
Ooh.
So, for example, Jay, if you were tempted by...
you get a lizard, a Chaos Lord on a lizard. So we can back that.
Say you were tempted by, a Dark Elder army, I might buy you a witch character from a blister pack.
Witch character?
I mean, can't think of what they're called.
You got the Archeons, haven't you? And the Sybarites, something like that.
The witch characters.
Yeah, the witch character.
I think because it's a well priced product, and also it could potentially get your friend into a brand new army as well.
Yeah.
It's kind of a bit of a mean one, really.
It's a little bit, isn't it?
Yeah. You end up buying a character for an army they hate.
Yeah. So I think that's a really good present. Plus, they might just want to paint up that one singular model as well.
That's true.
Quite a lot of those sort of clamp pack blisters for the characters are quite cool models, aren't they? Just they're quite characterful, so yeah.
Yeah. Excellent.
If you know your friend quite well and want to get them into a new army, and they want to paint more than one model, but they also want to play a tactical card game / miniatures game combo, why not get them a Warhammer Underworlds gang?
Mm.
Slightly more expensive, well, in some cases cheaper, than your single character figure. You get four or five models, and in the new edition of the game, a complete deck that you can use straight out of the box, which is a good change, I think.
Yeah.
So if for someone who's never played Underworlds before, you can get that, and they can play with you while they're deciding whether to get the full box game.
And these models are easy to put together, aren't they?
Easy build. You don't need glue, and they all have rules for AOS as well. As a gateway into that.
Nice size box to go in the stocking. I like that one.
Excellent. Cool. Your second choice, Jay?
My second choice was Black Library book. So the one I've got down here is Master of Mankind, which I think everyone should read because it's a fantastic book.
I don't think there's many podcasts that go by, Jay, and you don't mention Master of Mankind in some shape or form.
I was thinking, like,
if we had quotes, if this is a DVD and we had quotes on the back, it'd just be Master of Mankind, Jason Sanya.
Other books are available. I don't know if you can get Black Library gift vouchers. That would be a good one.
Oh, you might be able to through the website.
Yeah.
If you do get physical gift vouchers, you can spend them at Black Library at Warhammer World as well.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. So a Black Library gift voucher would be my second choice, as long as you spent it on Master of Mankind.
My second choice, Matt, is very similar to your second choice. People buy board games for Christmas. It's a very popular Christmassy kind of present. So you buy him a copy of the latest Warhammer Underworlds box, Beastgrave. It's a great way into the hobby. You get models, you get full rules. It's a tabletop game, easy to sort of get into. And you can play it with your spouse as well on Boxing Day.
There you go.
You know, you've got the boards, you've got two bands. You can build them in an hour.
Yeah, let us know how that goes for you, Dave, with your spouse.
I've tried to tempt her. I think if she was going to play Warhammer in any shape or form, it would be... She did say once upon a time that she would be willing to give it a try. It hasn't happened yet.
One day, maybe.
That get her in on the challenge next year. She can do our order army.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Give her the Stormcast models, Dave.
I think we're already on to our top choices, Matt.
We are. So, if you're buying Warhammer for somebody who collects Warhammer... One of the dangers is you don't know what armies they play, you don't know what models they've got, potentially. You don't know what units they need. So why not buy some scenery? Scenery is something that's useful in all of your games, regardless of what army you play, just to give your battlefield a bit more je ne sais quoi. It's no secret I'm a big scenery fan, and I've got piles of the stuff, but I think it really does add to the game. That's one of the draws of going to somewhere like Warhammer World. We've got playing all the tables with all scenery on there.
I'm glad we've got a mat to play on such nice tables.
I know all our scenery, Jay, is grey.
Remember when we first got into the hobby, we used to use toilet rolls and straws on cardboard boxes to make like old industrial looking factories.
Books
and things.
With just like a mat put over them for hills.
Polystyrene fillers from TV stands and things.
Yeah. You know what I think it is? When I was little, I always wanted a model railway.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the creating the environment part. That's probably why I bought a pile of Zone Mortality scenery, because I am all over that. And then I put little posters and weather it, and yeah.
Do you know what I would love to see?
Go on.
A Warhammer 40,000 model railway. Matt does that, like a hive tower thing with like a magma.
What about a railway cannon?
Oh, yeah. Ordinators on top.
Get the Chaos Dwarfs involved with their train.
So, I'm going to retract my 2020 plans.
Ace. Your top choice, Jay?
My top choice is a box of Miracle Dice. No, I'm joking.
Miracle
Dice. not Miracle Dice. My top choice is, rather than buying something for one of your friends, it's to buy a small model and paint it up and give that to your friend.
That's a cool thing.
Yeah. Doesn't necessarily have to be from an army they collect, just a little piece of Warhammer that you can paint up and give to them.
That's personalised Warhammer.
Personalised Warhammer.
Can I get a painted Eisenhorn off of Christmas?
I'll paint your Eisenhorn, Dave.
Yeah, possibly.
My top choice is, let's be honest, right? We've had a segment on this podcast about all the projects we're going to do. Man, we bounce around from armies a lot, don't we?
We do.
It's impossible to tell what we're going to be doing next. So you know what you need? You know what you need to buy that person who's jumping between projects? Games Workshop gift vouchers. Because then they can spend it on whatever project they're bouncing onto next. It's a bit of a cop-out answer, but come on. It's the greatest gift for any Warhammer fan is a Games Workshop voucher to do what the heck they want with. Do they want scenery? They will buy scenery. Do they want a warband for Necromunda? They can buy a warband for Necromunda. Do they want some new brushes? They can get some new brushes. Leave the decision in their hands.
There you go, the people have spoken.
So that is our top three picks. We hope you enjoyed those choices. Maybe we've just given away some ideas for what you can buy your friends. We have got your picks coming up next and some shout outs, so we'll have another brew and then move on to that. Okay, so it is time to read out your top three picks. Now, we're going to start off on Instagram because somebody's commented on our Instagram post. And then, Matt, I think you've got quite a number on Twitter. So, over on Instagram, Gunwich UK has said 10 boxes of grots. Does that count as one in brackets? Or, like me, another 10 boxes. Anything with grots, Forge World Mega Grot Cannon and Grot Tanks,
yes.
Forge World Super Cannon and Kill Cannon just for the grots. And then he's also commented, oh, and a large box of Gloomspike Gits. So I think he likes little green grots and goblins.
What gave it away?
And yeah, cool. Right, on to Twitter, Matt.
Awesome. Well, Fabius Fulgrim says, number three, some Black Library books. Number two, an Audible subscription. Now, that is a very good shout. At first, there wasn't many books on there, and now I'm fairly certain most of the Black Library range is available on Audible. I always use my Audible token to get a Black Library book each month.
I've currently just used mine to get the next in the Beast Within, Beast Arises series, which is what I'm listening to.
On Saturday, I'll be using mine to get the Go Trek Gernison anthology with all the classic books.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah. The last 20 books on my Audible have been Black Library books.
So yeah, it's relatively inexpensive compared to buying those audiobooks separately as well. So I know you're not a fan of audiobooks, are you, Dave? But
my brain can't get on with it.
Number one, kind of limited to spouses that live together or parents. But if your loved one doesn't have a dedicated place to hobby, finding them a place in the house and getting them a desk is the best hobby present money could buy. You need a hobby desk, Dave.
Yeah, that's a really nice shout.
Yeah. Little, it doesn't have to be big. You can just have a little cheap 20 quid desk from Argos. Other retailers are available, and just have a little setup with a little painting desk.
I did have a painting desk for a short time. I moved my desk downstairs purely for that reason, but now it's got a keyboard on it. So I've gone back to the old tried and tested board on my knee.
Board on my knee. Vincent Notley says Death Strike. Well, obviously. The £5 novella short story collections and novella series 2. These novellas are really good. I think they're £3, the novella series books, aren't they?
Yeah, there's a couple I want to pick up from this, because I got a couple last year, but this year you've got one for the Caradrons, which I think would be quite cool.
Yeah.
Especially for getting a battle box.
Cool.
And I think there's a Necromunda one as well, which I was quite interested in.
Nice. Mousebait says, probably T-shirts and books if I could get them signed. Well, you know what? If you go to any of the events, I'm sure the team would be happy to sign any books for you.
Remember when we got super lucky and went Warhammer World on the same day as Dan Abnett?
Yes.
Got a signed copy and no fear.
My old Guardians of the Galaxy books to get signed by Dan Abnett. Yeah. Mike Lowe's Minis. Number three, 7 Great Unclean Ones. Number two, 8 Bloodthirsters. 1, 6 Keeper of Secrets. Really easy. Chaos rules above else. Also, 9 Lord of Changes if you're really generous. And presumably a partridge in a pear tree in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pillil UK, a hammer to punish unruly dice. Kiriath says 3 Redemptor Dreadnoughts. That's it. He's not wrong. The Noob Painter says Dred Gobbo, also Dred Gobbo, and once more, Dred Gobbo.
Yeah, why have we not mentioned him, actually?
Yeah, it's a good. It's only available until Christmas Day, I believe, as well. Pre-Drag Vasiljevic, I've absolutely butchered your name and apologise there. A ticket to Warhammer World, a plane ticket to achieve 1, and visa clearance and payment to achieve 2. I think we're a bit spoilt the fact that we're so close to Warhammer World. People in the States, if you live near, Texas, there's the Warhammer Citadel. But people further afield, I do apologise that you miss out on some of these cool things. Hopefully, as the hobby grows, they might start putting things out further afield as well. I think they do have a European open day, don't they?
In Germany.
So, yeah. And I think there's been some, certainly some community presence in some of the Australian tournaments as well. So it is spreading. Yeah. Hopefully it'll be with your part of the world soon. Chris, a.k.a. Shay Gudry Brusher, which is a brilliant name, a Shadow Sword, a Bane Blade and a Hellhammer. Chrissy says a battle sister box for everyone.
Yes.
That's the dream.
That is the dream.
Separate boxed plastic aspect warriors. And a dead ultramarine basing kit.
A dead ultramarine?
Yeah. I imagine a certain Nick Baton won't be too happy with that, but I'm sure you can paint them other colours. They're ultramarines. Violet Sun says space marines. You can never have too many space marines. Also, glue. Spare glue is a great gift. Yes, it is. Escobar says an Audible gift membership. You can choose between 1 to 12 months and there's loads of Black Library. The Horus Heresy travel mug, which has been a popular one. It's out of stock, apparently.
Mm.
And painting supplies. Winsor & Newton or Raphael brushes, Citadel water pot, paint handles, etc. Hunza Skypala, again, sorry if I get your name wrong. The Red Gobbo, great character with a Christmas vibe. Marathi, the best model in the whole GW range. Mm. And Necromunda Dark Uprising, the largest box game in all GW history. It is a big old box.
Yeah, it is chunky.
Context Variable says, step one, find out what their least three favourite models are. That's controversial. And Ben Ladner says, industrial-sized paper towels for cleaning up Agrax Earthshades.
Yeah, null oil.
Yeah, Agrax for me. Constantly spilling that stuff.
We also had a shout-out from Ross Polly, who says, paint handles, hobby time, and brushes.
Hobby time. That's a great gift from your...
hobby time.
Yeah, partners and so on. So, going by that list then, I can just get you two glue for Christmas. Is that all right?
Yeah, well, maybe there's models to go with the glue. So next week is... we'll be thinking about the open day on the following Saturday.
Mm.
So, it's an oldie but a goodie. We want to know your top three things you want to see at the 40K open day.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be a good one. It's going to be a good one because, I mean... We are at the point in the year now where we've seen everything that's coming out. Yeah. We don't know now.
These are always good open days to go to. And there's a bit of overlap with the New Year one.
Yeah.
Because obviously it's just going to be 40K at this one. But yeah. You tend to get a lot of reveals.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, it should be very exciting. Should be very good. Before we wrap up this podcast, we just wanted to give a shout out to Pro Painted Podcast. For providing us with some Sprues and Brews branded markers and dials, upping our gaming experience.
Merchandise.
Yeah, I don't know what I wanted to say, but it's upping our. I'm definitely taking these to the tournament on Sunday.
They're in your colours, all Dave.
They are the green to go with my orcs.
Dave fully with the product placement on the gaming table.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, be like, where are you getting them from? Oh, it's Prison Breeze from Pro Painted Podcast. Thank you very much for sending those over to us. Can't wait to use them on Sunday when my Tyranids hopefully get to charge stuff.
I just don't know why they've got two dials for objective points, Dave, when you only need one. 1 to 9 is enough. You're never going to get 99 objective points, are you, Dave?
I noticed they've also sent you a 9-inch range ruler. This is presumably for you to fail charges.
This is why I'm playing high feet Behemoth at the tournament. Reroll charges, I need it.
The range marker is really cool because these are all magnetised, so you can just sort of clip the 6 and the 9. It's pretty smart, that.
Yeah, it's really cool.
And I'm a sucker for 3-inch piling markers as well.
Yeah. So yeah,
you might have been hearing me clicking like this all the way through the podcast because it's just quite therapeutic doing that.
Therapeutic. Cool. I think that wraps up this week's podcast. Unless anybody else has got anything else to say?
Nothing, that's it.
That's all good. We hope you've enjoyed listening. Let us know your feedback on social media along with your top three choices. And we'll be back next week with another helping of this podcast. So until then, goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Sprues and Brews podcast. If you like what you've been listening to, please do give us a share and a comment if you're listening via Apple Podcasts. For further content, please check out spruesandbrews.com and you can contact us on Twitter @spruesandbrews or over on Facebook, facebook.com/spruesandbrews.